Let's clock the end of my year, just a little.
Is that good for her and program?
Okay, the time is now 7 o'clock. We'll call this regular meeting to order with a pledge of allegiance, followed by a moment of silence for our military.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Roll call.
Councilman Nell.
Present.
Councilman Harris.
Absent.
Councilman
Miller.
Here.
Councilman May.
Here.
Councilman Ricks.
Here.
Councilman
Houston.
Present.
Councilman Nell. Here. Item 4, special presentations and recognitions. We do have two tonight. First one is there's a plaque issued to a local business from the Economic Development Commission to Breakfast at Diane's in special recognition for being an excellent business in the town of Montville since 2021. It's outstanding dedication to the town of Montville community, veterans, police, first responders, Montville schools, and youth sports that makes Breakfast at Diane's a leading business in town. Thank you for your community support, presented by the Montville Town Council and the Economic Development Commission in May of 2023. She was not able to be here tonight, so we will present this to her sometime in the next week or two. The next presentation is from Mr. Fritzling on the town's radio system.
I tried to knock this down to one page.
Thank you.
I didn't bore you all with stuff you didn't want to read.
Thank you.
I'm sure you all enjoy schematics.
Thank you.
Especially you.
Thank you. I have an extra.
Pass it down.
Thank you.
Thank you. Stephen Frischling, Chester Fire Company, discussing the transition from the fire service to the state radio system. My background, other than knowing about the radios, is I hold federal certifications in DHS, Homeland Security, Radio Interoperability, and FEMA Telecommunications Emergency Response Task Force as both basic and a task force leader. The current radio system serving the town of Montville Fire Service is aging and offers restricted radio interoperability that will become more restricted as of July 1st, 2023. Radio communications are vital to the life safety of not only the town of Montville's fire and EMS personnel, but also those within Montville who the fire service serves. The current state of the town of Montville's fire radio communications is largely made up of aging portable radio communications, towers that present signal input challenges, and are comprised of inventory of more than half a dozen different radio portable types across four different fire companies and paid staff, and among those half a dozen different radios, there are at least seven different radio channel plans. You can't grab one radio and know what you're going to grab when you change the channel. That's a real problem. Now, as the Montville Police transition away from their aging VHF analog conventional radio system to the Connecticut Land Mobile Radio Network, along with Norwich Fire and QV Fire Dispatch, moving to the state system as well, the opportunity exists for the town to advance the life and safety of its fire and EMS personnel and take advantage of the significant benefits associated with utilizing the existing infrastructure available from the state system. The state system increases the operational communications capabilities for both input and output. That's a serious problem we have in town, but I won't worry with the technological problems with that, resulting in fewer radio dead spots in the town with both portable and mobile radios. The state system provides 98% communications coverage within the state with mobile radios, and with relatively simple hardware, we are able to overcome the communication challenges with the portables, allowing us to have better communications access in buildings such as the schools, elder care facilities, and when operating on brush fires where there's normal towers around. The integration of all band radios for the fire service with the transition to the state radio system additionally allows for access to the state network, as well as to VHF and UHF analog conventional frequencies. That would give fire and EMS access to departments that have not yet transitioned over, as well as access to marine radio channels for the three boats we have in town, as well as other communications needs as they come up. Utilizing the state's radio system would allow fire and EMS to have direct access to communicate with the state fire coordinator, as well as Millennium County fire coordinator, something we cannot presently do for long-duration operations like the scrapyard fire or other type incidents. Day-to-day, Montville units will be afforded common communications platforms with our mutual aid partners, including Salem, Basra, Norwich, and East Lyme should be coming over. Waterford plans on moving over within the next 2 or 3 years. So it would allow us to communicate with those departments, which we cannot presently communicate with. In just a few weeks, the Division of Emergency Management and Homeland Security will be releasing a Region Zone 4 update for the state radios. Every fire company has at least two of those at this time, but they're not widely used. This new zone, which I actually created for the New London County Fire Chiefs Association, would create common communications links using the state system for anything on 385, or with the state police or Norwich coming in, or scrapyard fires, or anything really involving complex intercommunications, interdepartmental communications. From an internal communication standpoint, the transition would place fire and police on a single unified communication platform, allowing seamless radio interoperability in a time of crisis and special events with law enforcement. It would clear traffic from other channels so the dispatchers don't necessarily have to hear us talking. It would also free up the dispatchers from having to relay information back and forth, which is something they don't want to do when there's a crisis going on. The significant long-term benefit for the town moving the fire service over is the state system would have really a cost benefit, and that's, you know, cost is what you all really care about as far as I know. The state charges no fees or annual dues to use the state system. All system maintenance costs and system updates are at the expense absorbed by the state. The only cost associated with moving to the system is that of the hardware in the field, meaning our actual radios in our hand, or any like extenders we would have on the trucks or with the schools. Schools need specifically have dead spots, so we can get into that. There's no network cost to actually build out the network. There's no cost to maintain the network, to upgrade the network, which is something we have with our crippling system right now, which has consistent failures. Operationally, the fire service in town has experienced a number of communications outages that pose a significant risk to anyone who dials 911 when any first responder responding to a call. The state system is monitored 24/7 by the state's emergency telecommunications system with a backup system in place to reduce system outages. They all have 8-hour battery backups, so power simply doesn't fail for them. We can keep talking. The state also allows the town itself to have system administrators. So for any localized problem, like our radio, but not a state system, we can go in and fix it without having to call on an outside vendor if we have a manager for that. The reduction in downtime is a problem for radio failures. The state radio network allows for the radios to be rekeyed and reprogrammed over the air. So whenever we change a channel, a zone, anything on that, radio never has to leave. You simply turn the radio off, turn the radio on, it's reprogrammed over the air, and radio never goes out of service. For point-to-point communications, if we move over to the state system, we have access to the conventional channel gateway, which exists at Troop E. So they can hook in 4 analog systems from an outside agency, like the Red Cross comes in if we have a significant like storm or other incident where we need to use the Red Cross, or outside agencies that are not on the system. They can patch us through. It's something they cannot do for us unless we're on the system. So it allows us to communicate more effectively. The added benefit for the town of Montville Fire Service is that the entire radio system would allow the town's fire service to be compliant with the National Public Safety Planning Advisory Committee's recommendations for emergency communications and interoperability, something that's not possible with the current system, even if we upgrade it or do any extensive fixes to it. Questions? Anyone?
Sure, I got a question. You mentioned about the the brush fire on Route 82 and we're out of the radio range for communication. How does this resolve that specifically?
There are significantly more tower sites that would allow us to use the state system. So okay. Because the state has to cover, it has 98% coverage with mobile radios, which are the radios in the trucks, and roughly 86% coverage of portables. So right now, our portable coverage is a little under 60% of the town. So it gives us more options for that.
So we don't have to have new towers. We don't have to have new towers or anything.
The state has towers that essentially cover. Right now, as far as the PD is, when they switch over, they're going to all portables, which presents a challenge for itself. But they found the system to be sufficient to go to portable only. I mean, we're not that confident in the system. We need the mobiles as well. But it gives you more coverage when you're out there.
All right, good. Thank you.
Any other questions? This was brought about by the chiefs, and there's a radio committee in town, and so basically the finance is going to start looking at it, but it is an upfront cost that's substantial, probably $600,000 to get into the door.
Ooh.
$600,000?
Just for the equipment? Just
well,
for
it's actually closer to a million, but to phase it in is about $300,000 for the radios, and then you need to be able to simulcast on the old system temporarily, so that's another $300,000 to upgrade that.
Well, when we did the independent police way back when, to get on the state system at the time, it's about $800,000.
I think it's about right in the ballpark.
That's going to be, it's the same system, right,
yep.
that we're doing, so
yep.
I actually thought we were already transitioning over that, but that's good to hear. We're looking forward to that.
We did, but that was just the police.
Right, just the police. They're on it now, and it's working pretty well for them.
Right. So if the state's pushing this, if I may, because I'm not aware of it, are they going to offer any grants or financing for that?
Yep. Yeah, he knows more than I do about this, so I know nothing about it.
Well, why'd you sit down?
Because there's no more questions. I'm just sitting down. At the time, the primary incentive is that it costs nothing to use other than the actual hardware we're going to use. The state absorbs all the costs of the network and the maintenance and the infrastructure to that. At the moment, our current system has had a number of issues over the past year. We had one day where we were using Eastline to dispatch us because we had a down system. It took quite a while and expense to actually fix that. So that is the primary cost savings here. When we have to actually fix our system or expand the system out for the town of Montville, the money's not there and the infrastructure is significantly aging. You guys had mentioned simulcasting. The cost to actually make our system simulcast effectively right now is $337,000. So the cost of simulcasting a system that is aging and being pushed out essentially, because there's no point in us being an island. Right now, we're on a VHF system. We go mutual aid almost every day, or relatively almost every day, I'm sure. Salem. Salem is on a UHF system we can't talk to, but Salem moved to the state system as well, so we can talk to them. Bosra is on QV, they can talk to them. Norwich had a failing system. We work with them fairly often at 25, so on the digital system, you can talk to them. Waterford is on an aging 800 system. They're coming over to this in the next couple of years because the cost to upgrade their system is extensive. So we will talk to them. So right now, we're sort of an island. We live in a spot where we're VHF and we're trying to talk to two other systems around us that are incompatible with us. But on grants, there are grants available. I've been looking into them, researching them. We just needed to know where the town was before I could go any further with that.
Thank you.
Is there any funding from the state right now?
The state offers no funding.
Okay.
The state's funding is that it's free to use the system
Understood.
Once you give them the hardware.
Understood that part, yeah.
No, but there's probably federal money available right. through those, I forget what they call those, firefighter grant.
Yep.
There are grants through FEMA, and I'm actually working with one of the providers to get more grant information. But we need to actually know if we can do this before I can give them more of what they want.
Any more questions? Any more questions? Thank you. All right, moving on. Alterations to the agenda. I have a couple. One is to remove item J because we got the old job description, not the new one. And to add items K, which is to waive the sealed bid requirement of 708 for the Turner Road tree clearing. And to add L, the town of Montville resolves to appropriate $4,000 from the ARPA money to Safe Futures.
So moved.
Motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, just on the position description, I mean, we're just removing those things, and that's why I present, because the position description hadn't changed yet, it hadn't been edited out, so we have the meeting minutes from the TARP that cover what the changes were, so
exactly what's to be removed.
I don't, yeah, well, I don't know what it is.
If you hand it to
me, I have the TARP minutes, if you like.
So we suggested not to take it off the agenda?
Does everybody here know what the changes are?
So you're removing the words dispatch center supervisor from the nature of work section
right.
and removing the entire section of the job description entitled Montville 911 center supervisor. That's it.
Right.
That's it.
So I mean, if you want to not waste a...
All right. So we can keep that on, but then we have those two add-ons. So.
Okay.
So motion?
Motion to keep J and add K and L.
Very good. Second?
Second.
Any more discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed?
Very good.
All right. Item 6, to consider an act on a motion to approve the special meeting minutes of May 15th, 2023.
So moved.
Second.
And second. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? All right. And is there a motion for the special meeting minutes of May 16th, 2023?
So moved.
Second.
Made and second. Any discussion on that? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Item 7, executive session, to consider an act on a motion to enter into executive session for the purpose of interviewing candidates for the Economic Development Commission. Discussion to include members of the Town Council and Mayor Ronald McDaniel.
So moved.
Second.
A motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? We are in executive session at 7:15. Yeah, the time is 7:26. We're at executive session. Is there a motion to consider an act on a motion to enter back into an executive session for discussion on a memorandum of understanding with Local 1303-051, Council 4, AFSCME, AFL-CIO, executive session to include members of the Town Council and Mayor Ron McDaniel?
So moved.
Good motion. Second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? We're back in executive session at 7:26. Okay, the time is now 7:36. We're out of executive session. No votes were taken. Item 8, remarks from the public with a 3-minute limit on items on the agenda. Anyone wishing to speak on items on the agenda? Ask call from the public for items on the agenda.
Hi, I'm Linda Tomasa, P.O. Box 407, Monto. I have a question on the minutes that were approved tonight from the last meeting of the mayor getting a $25,000 raise. And I believe that it should have been done in increments and with justification of a need for services that were rendered to make this town better, which has not been done. I also have an objection for the vote of one of the Democrats who may be running for mayor, and I think it's an ethic violation. You don't vote yourself a raise coming into a new job. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Again, anybody on, it has to be on the agenda if you want to speak. Any items on the agenda? All right, hearing none, we're moving on. And communications, there's copies of your finance report from the finance director and copies of legal bills. And is there any other communications? Hearing none. Item 10, remarks from the town attorney on matters referred.
Nothing pending.
Sure. Item 11, remarks from the mayor.
Hey, thank you. We conducted a series of interviews and oral exams to make promotions for the two sergeants, and Officer Shepard and Stu were promoted to sergeant. Congratulations to them. Well deserved, and I think they'll serve this town well. We had a couple of significant bid openings that came in for asphalt repairs, the Moxley Bridge catch basins, and the numbers actually came in good for a change, surprisingly, but well. Glad to have it. We had two pre-construction meetings, one for the Moxley Culvert and one for the Oxaboxa Loss Project, which is they're supposed to close on their loan mid-July and start up construction again. So we'll hopefully see that project get going again. The Moxley Road will probably be closed for a period of 40 days or so while they do that culvert project. So we're trying to get that done before school bus season rolls around, but we might miss it by a week or two. We were able to give out some Palmer scholarships. I get to sit on that scholarship committee. We gave out over $6,000 in scholarships. As you well know, we had a very successful parade. It was very well attended. The weather was great as usual. For some reason, it never rains on that parade. And very happy to have that. And on the 7th last week, the Board of Education superintendent and I went and visited the retirees at each of the schools and ambushed them in their classrooms presented them with some flowers and balloons and awards and things, and it was a really fun time. So the other thing has been winding down on the legislative session. We didn't get hurt. The But the governor did sign the budget today. We were able to kill the personal property tax bill for the casino taxation. The bill that they had proposed in lieu of that to make that study committee, that also did not pass. It died on the calendar. There are some things that we're trying to figure out, but right now I think, Barbara, what do we say? It looked like we were about $200,000 to the good on what we had projected for for income from the state, so we didn't fall back. We actually went ahead a little bit. They're going to change the way they do the ECS funding so that towns are held harmless on the phase-in on that. And beginning in fiscal year 26, there'll be a significant amount of money added to the Mohegan Pequot Fund. It's not till 26, but it's there. And for them to be able to steal that money back and put it in the general fund, it'll take a two-thirds vote of the entire legislature to overturn that. So in a couple of years, we'll have some better financial security out of that funding. So a lot of other stuff that they did, too, like any substantial building renovations to public buildings or new construction of a public building, you have to put a diaper changing station in, so we could add that to the cost of our animal control facility. Horseshoe crabs, you can't harvest horseshoe crabs by hand anymore, so they were very busy. That's it.
All right, department heads.
Hi, everybody. Liz Burdick, Director of Land Use and Development. I have like 2 minutes, but I'm going to go really quick. First thing, our land use department, we're now up to 3 out of 4 staff. We were working on 2 out of 4 for several months. So Meredith and I are starting to breathe a little easier, and I hope to have a full staff. We have to make some revisions to some job descriptions in order to comply with state law, and when we do that, we hope to advertise them and have a full staff. So that's a really great thing, and you know, everything's really running smoothly. I'm working on closing out the STEEP grant. The community center project is either complete or nearly complete, but we've utilized all the state funding for that project, and we'll be closing that grant out. I received the final PSA, which is a personal services agreement today, finally. I'm going back on this for a long time, for the fishing pier. So it went through the state's legal department. They made some further changes. They were sent to us, but it's going through our town attorney, the mayor, myself. We're going to be reviewing it. And at the same time, it's gone, we've authorized it to be sent to the Attorney General's office so that the process keeps moving. So I'm really, really excited that we'll have that all in place, hopefully within a month or two. The LOTSIP project, which is the sidewalk project on Route 32, the consultant came back with us. They made some suggestions for basically some significant changes. I don't have revised plans yet, but instead of a bike lane on the east side of Route 32, across the street from Town Hall, it's going to be a multi-purpose path. Problematic was the speed limits were so high that it was a 5% barrier for the bike paths. So instead of that, we're going to do a 10-foot wide multi-purpose path on the side. That being said, we may also, in this grant, be able to do some intersection improvements to Route 163, which was not on the table when this project started. So that might be a very good thing. And the state tells me that Route 32 is on the paving schedule for 2024. So if we can get this project working together, that might be a really, really nice thing. I sit on the state small manufacturing home advisory board. Basically, it supports legislations for manufactured home parks. This year's legislation revised some laws that give mobile home, if the park is for sale, it gives the residents of that home the opportunity to purchase that park. I mean, it's not as simple as that, but it gives them first right of refusal to purchase the park so that it's just not sold, you know, out from under them to the public. I'm working on a zoning regulations update, most especially signage. We're also updating the POCD and the affordable housing plan. Planning and Zoning Commission, they approved a 6-month moratorium on cannabis establishments at their last meeting, or their last meeting was canceled, but the meeting before. That's so that they can thoughtfully consider regulations or consider prohibiting the uses in the town. So We're going to be starting to review regulations that I've already drafted and put together at the next meeting. Please do so. It should be a lively discussion. We have approved the tree service building up on 412 Maple Avenue. P&H Construction Advanced Associates in the industrial condo up there. Dunn's Tree Services building a large building at the very top, and that has been approved. Two Enterprise Drive, there's a 9,000 square foot light industrial building that was approved and ready to go for construction. Right now on our agenda, we have 486 Fitchhill Road. They're going to apply for a permit to expand their farm to include boarding horses and riding stables. 69 Fitchhill Road, there is a proposed industrial development, three new industrial warehouse buildings down, which will probably be similar to the one up on Maple Avenue. So there'll be spaces that can be built out for, you know, whatever use wants to be in there. Property owner is going to utilize one building for his own business, and there'll be two other buildings. That's on our agenda. We also have on our agenda for this month the landfill solar project, and that was just submitted. So once that gets going and it gets through, it does have to go to wetlands. There is some minimal upland review area activity, so it's at wetlands and at the Planning and Zoning Commission level. That's approved. That should be approved hopefully by the end of July. The plans work pretty good. Also on our agenda is a new gas station convenience store to the right of the Home Depot driveway across from the firehouse. It has not been approved yet. Staff has significant comments on their plans, and we're waiting for revised plans. We've been super busy with inquiries. I've been speaking to a developer about possibly constructing a senior housing development. That would be 62 and older. Again, very preliminary start of the conversation, but I'm really trying to work with this person because I think that's something you could really use in this town. In the 62 and older, they would be rentals. They would not be condos or anything like that. In fact, a ton of commercial building inquiries all up and down Route 32. You know, sometimes they pan out, sometimes you hear back from them. It's, hey, can I do this on this? You know, I had a lot of that lately. 42 Pink Row, the Faria factory. We're finally there. We've been working really hard with them to get this project going. And actually, Meredith and I are doing a tour of the work that's been done so far. And I really encourage, if any of you want to go for a tour of this building, give me a call, and I'm sure you could go individually. It's pretty amazing what you're doing down there. The apartments are beautiful, and they have beautiful views of the river. I mean, they're so unique and so really neat. They were the architect had to meet all the historic. Buildings of the National Register that had to meet all of the historians' requirements for the Houston building, but like there's huge beams in there that are just, you can't even fathom. Some of these apartments are pretty neat, actually. So if any of you is interested in going and seeing what's going on inside the building right now, the site work should be started. I'm going to think in the month, are we going to be closing it by the end of June? And then the site work will start down there as well. Jerome Road, I've been following up on that project for multifamily housing. I'm being told that those will definitely have some affordable units because of the financing that's involved with those, and that's a really good thing. I'm also working on multifamily development where I asked the developer nicely, can you volunteer with 18 to be this affordable? And he said yes. So, you know, they don't always say yes. But on this time, he said, you know, I might be able to do 10 or 12. It's out of 100, but it's 10 or 12. So that's it for me. Does anyone have any questions?
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, thanks.
Any other department head?
What?
Oh, watch.
Hi.
Hi. Hi. Hi. Hi. Hi. Hi. Hi. Hi. Just comments on, as the mayor said, we did with the finalizing of the budget, some changes all in our favor. ECS was increased by $90,000. Pilot, payment in lieu of taxes, was the big one, $148,000. And adult ed increased by $1,600. And supplemental revenue share by $20,000. For a total of $261,000. If anybody wants to actually see the numbers, you know, just contact me, but it is total in our favor, $261,000. No changes to Pequot Fund or Municipal Grant and Aid, and LOSAP and TAR, as would be expected, remain unchanged. So if you have any questions, just let me know. The next thing I want to talk about is the ARPA. And discussions with Al today, because ARPA was going to meet tomorrow night. They had one item to take up, and because of unavailability of people to attend, decided not to have it taking up that item tonight. But in preparation for that meeting, I have been working, as I said, last month, on updating the ARPA Excel spreadsheet that I keep kind of in the background of the system report. Changes made at last month's ARPA meeting. There were some increases, some new items appropriated, and some decreases. Projects that were closed out had residual, and that money was able to go back into the fund balance of ARPA. I did do totals of what has been budgeted, changes to the budget. I added a column so that when you look at the ARPA report, you can actually see what the current budget is, so it reflects those increases, decreases more clearly. And then I also added to the column, added to the spreadsheet a column where I just make notes. And I talked to you about how I really just, I'm reaching out to department heads, trying to keep track of what they're working on, how it's progressing. And I will be updating the report periodically as expenses are incurred, just to keep up with changing balances in that report. I'll also keep discussing with department heads, so as things close out, I will know that to report it to the ARPA committee. With increases and decreases, I was able to recalculate the amount that's available at this time, and it stands at about $168,000. So when the ARPA committee meets again, as they're getting requests that they can discuss, there is still money to allocate, and I'm sure as projects finish up, there will be residual balances, and that's why I want to keep on top of that, make sure that that money is being spent. And then just to remind everyone, because I get this question a lot, that we have until December 2024 to allocate. That's a year and a half. And then 2 years after that is when spending is done. And then just to get back to what our original appropriation, it was $5.5 million.
5,477.
Yeah, okay. So if you ever have any questions about ARPA, specific items in the ARPA report, or if you ever want to see ARPA reports, please just get in touch with me. Happy to share that information. And any questions?
A comment. You made a mention about tomorrow's ARPA meeting was canceled, but there's something on our agenda tonight that we're voting on. Did that go through the ARPA committee?
Nope.
Shouldn't it?
Doesn't need to.
Doesn't need
they're
to.
They're recommending body, so we're doing it for full council tonight. It's the only one item.
I just didn't know.
Two out of the three participants aren't available for tomorrow night, so putting that one agenda, instead of waiting another 30 days, it's $4,000 to bring it tonight, and it's a worthy cause that was forwarded to me by the mayor, and it's well worth.
Oh, I got it. Just misunderstood.
I just want to make sure you understood.
Maybe you can always vote against it. So. Last thing I have to talk about is I was contacted by our insurance broker, Dan Anderson of HD Seeger, actually came to my office to talk to me. And I think it was he was doing kind of some in-the-field reviews of things to look at our policies and just make sure there were or were not things in place that he needed to know about. And something he came across, which he wanted to address with me, was Access Road to Field and Concessions. This was the first time I heard about this, so I had to talk a little bit to him and to Peter to kind of get some background on this. But apparently, there is just a small road that really functions more as kind of a driveway. It's not really a two-way road that vehicles can access the field and the concession area. And he is concerned about parking in that area. I guess there's actually kind of not designated parking spaces, but actually places where cars park. And he wants a policy formulated that just addresses this. And he's particularly concerned that there be a policy that addresses the need to prohibit or at least restrict vehicle traffic on this access road. And to prohibit parking adjacent to the concessions when the fields are in use. Concern is that if there is parking in that area, there is the potential for vehicles to be using the road at the same time pedestrians are accessing the area. So I did speak with the rec director, Peter Bushway, who has also been a mate, made aware of the concerns raised by our insurance broker. And the things we've talked about, things to consider, are that we completely eliminate vehicle access to that area except for town vehicles, or we allow some restricted access during hours that are well outside of field use. And we did discuss it. In any event, I guess there are just a lot of people who have keys to allow access to this. And Peter and I thought at a minimum, probably want to change the lock on this gate or fence and then reissue keys on an animated basis as we create this policy. So that people who are now getting keys and access will have to be made aware of this policy once we draw it up. So the next step is to just come up with some kind of an outline, go over it, and discuss further with our broker.
Barbara, if you could just forward that to Public Works Committee, because I know they're working with Parks and Rec, because there's a lot of issues with ADA compliance now and stuff, so they're reviewing all of that as we speak.
Who's reviewing it?
Both Public Works and Parks and Rec committees. So they're working together on that because there's a lot of issues right now with ADA accessibility and stuff. So they may end up having to widen the road or do some other stuff.
Oh, okay. Well, that's great.
If you just want to send over any concerns to us, and we'll put that on the agenda for them.
Yeah, I think my immediate concern is to address the needs of the broker because if he comes out again, you know, he's going to want to know what we've done. And you know, now this is on his scope. So he's going to want to know what we've what we've done, what we are doing.
So we're working on it.
Yeah, so we'll definitely be wanting input, feedback. But I think because it's actually been addressed in the context of an insurance concern that we really need to address it sooner than later. And then if things are happening, that's great. We can revise policies as it becomes, it's a security issue. You know, so widening the road or you know, whatever, it's something that he would have to, you know, look at again. So.
We're working on it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we will be too, and I'm glad to know that. You said the Parks and Rec and
Public Works Committee, yeah.
Highway are working on that area, and I will be gathering a lot more information about this going forward. So, any questions on that or comments?
Thank you very much.
Okay, and I have the final budget books. I'm just going to leave them on that table, and as you leave, you help yourself to them. They're marked up by name, and again, the budget. Any questions come up, please reach out to me. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other department heads?
Bill Blanchett, Chief of Police. A couple of things. Sergeant Matt Northup retired beginning of the month. So as the mayor mentioned, Sergeant Shepherd, Sergeant Stewart, there are new promotees going to midnight shift, where I have all the faith and confidence in the world in them. I'm sure everybody here knows about K-9 Barrett and Council McNally, Mayor, thank you very much. Council Yucknick, for all the support that you've given us. Had a nice kind of sending off ceremony when they took Barrett in to put him down. On the record, I'd like to thank State Police assistants from the kennel, Troop K, Troop E, and Troop D, the Norwich Police Department, the Rhode Island State Police Department, and the Coventry Rhode Island Police Department, for providing an escort for Barrett from the hospital in Norwich where he was put down to Coventry, Rhode Island, where he was cremated. Barrett is back home with his family right now with a nice plaque. One of the things that we're doing, we have been in contact with the court because obviously the Barrett's untimely demise was because he was assaulted by a felon who has been convicted of the charge. However, he has not yet been sentenced. The court has asked, and we will comply. We're going to go down and read an impact statement prior to sentencing so the judge can hear just how much we've lost with Barrett. Kind of on a good news, the State Police Kennel has been working with Officer Witz. He currently has a 13-month-old puppy that he's riding around with that we've got him on a week trial to see what his social skills are, and hopefully we'll be able to get the dog in the class that starts September 11th. But that's about it, and I appreciate it.
Thank you, Chief. Any other department heads wishing to speak? Hearing none, moving on. Reports from standing committees, towns, rules, and procedures.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We met and we revised the fire marshal's job description, removing control over the police the dispatch center and handing it to the chief of police. That's on the agenda for later on.
Excellent. Finance, it's not really much. The budget's over with, as we spoke about. We did get a little extra bump, which is nice. We will be having a finance meeting eventually soon to discuss some low-sup money that's left over because we have a couple of capital projects, including the radio system we heard about tonight, a gear washer, and a refurbishment of a truck. And Mohegan received their new M21 pumper truck, which has been, I believe, on order for almost 3 years. So that should be in service eventually. That's it for finance. Public Works, there's road paving going on. The tennis courts, as you see, they had the ribbon-cutting ceremony for that, and it went well, and they look great. They're working on the bathrooms now at the tennis courts. And the mayor's authorized using some overtime to get caught up because between the paving, the carnival, and the mowing, et cetera, they're severely falling behind. So they're working, I believe, weekends and after hours, correct?
As much as they can and want to.
Yeah. So. All right. Reports from special committees. Councilor Bunnell, Library Committee, Parks and Rec.
The Library Committee did not meet. Firefighters Relief Committee met in April, and the I didn't have the report with me last month, but the Montreux Company 1 had 8 stipends. Mohegan Company 2 had 10 stipends. Chesterfield had 3 stipends and 2 tax abatements. And Oakdale Company 4 had 6 stipends and 7 tax abatements. Parks and Rec met on May 17th. We had some discussion on the accessible playground. It is up. There's still some problems with it, and they're working out the issues. So there was some discussion on that. Summer camp been moved to tile due to a boiler problem, replacement at the high school. At that time in May 17th, the interviews for the summer camp positions were nearly completed, and everybody knows about the tennis court and the pickleball being completed, and with their grand opening from Saturday. There was a discussion on the capital improvement cuts that were for the 23-24 fiscal year. There was a lot of discussions on it, on the cuts, and a lot of uneasy comments. There was discussion on the parks facilities, and including the handicapped parking at the ball field, football field. The insurance, as was pointed out by the finance director, the insurance carrier broker did review the handicapped parking and found no issues with the way it was set up. However, the parks rec director is going to add a couple more to at least increase the numbers, but the placement is fine. There's no need to move that around. He found no issues with the leaving of the gate arm closed. And as far as what the director was talking about, the memorandum of agreement is going to be revisited and come up with some way to control the traffic that is going down the that driveway. I don't think we need to get into widening. It's going to be quite an expense. And that'll be done through the, be controlled through the memorandum of agreements to the users of the fields. There's a list of park improvements that was sent out to the town council. Everybody should have that. Happy to report that the several items on the list have been completed, and noting the maintaining of the facilities. And kudos was given to the Public Works Department for all the help that they've given in getting that list some attention anyway. The summer concerts will begin on Tuesday, June 29th. The farmers market is opening tomorrow. That's all.
Very good. Councilor Cairns, not here. Councilor Mandler, WPCA and ad hoc.
WPCA didn't meet this month due to an emergency with one of the attendees, and the COVID-19 is coming up tonight.
Very good. Councilor May, Conservation Commission.
Yeah, it's really active. Memorial Day, we had a volunteer day out there, and had about 15 people come out, and we were finish up some of the bog logs, did some cleaning up of the trails. So we got another 160 feet of bog logs, and it looks like we have about another 100 feet to go to finish. It's looking great out there. New sign, everything's getting there. The 20th, we're going to be at the Conservation Commission is going to be at the community, the farmers market for Community Day, and we're going to really be putting out some good information to the public about compost bins, if you guys are so interested. They're available through SCARA for $45, a really a good price. But we will hopefully see you guys at the farmer's market on the 20th.
Very good. Councilor Ricks, Board of Ed, Farmer's Market, and Planning and Zoning.
Land Use and Development Director Liz Burdick gave a very detailed full report for Planning and Zoning. As Councilor Bunnell said, the farmers market is opening tomorrow. Board of Education, Palmer graduated on Friday. Tile graduates tomorrow. Mohegan Elementary graduated today. And the high school will be on Wednesday, and I'm hearing it'll likely be indoors due to the weather. They have a few projects that they'll be getting going, hopefully, this summer.
Very good. Councilor Yuknik, EDC, Public Safety Commission and Youth Services.
Well, EDC, as you already talked about, they recognize Breakfast at Diana's. Hopefully, they'll be doing that on a quarterly basis, picking a different business in town for recognition. The Youth Services Bureau and Advisory Board, some of the money that they're getting from the opioid money from the state, they're going to use to purchase additional Narcan, which they'll give to the police department and fire departments. Apparently, that's getting more and more difficult to come by. So rather than there be a shortage, they're going to do some of that. They're also going to offer it to any citizens in town that may have a need to keep it in their house due to a family member or something. Public safety, the police department responded last month to 809 calls for service. They issued 125 tickets, and the chief already talked about K-9 Barrett. I just want to go on record that he did suffer those injuries as a direct result of apprehending a criminal, and even though he's a dog, this counts as a line of duty death for our police department, so he should receive all of the recognition that goes along with that. I had the honor and privilege to attend his final ride to the vet's office, and it was heartwarming to see all the police officers there paying their final respects. That's all I have.
Thank you. Item 14, appointments and resignations. A, to consider and act on a motion to reappoint Paul Chase to the Conservation Commission with a term to expire on June 10th, 2025.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made and second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item B, to consider and act on a motion to reappoint Benjamin Crosley to the Building Code of Appeals with a term to expire June 11th, 2028.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made and second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item C, to consider and act on a motion to appoint Elaine Hess as an alternate member of the Conservation Commission with a term to expire June 10th, 2025.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made second. Any discussion?
Aye.
Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item 15, there is no unfinished business. Item 16, new business. A, the Town of Montville hereby resolves to refund taxes due to overpayments and corrections in the amount of $2,570.51 as requested by the tax collector.
So moved.
A motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, roll call vote.
Councilor Bunnell?
Favor.
Councilor
Favor.
Councilor May?
Favor.
Favor.
Favor. Favor.
Favor. 7-0, motion passed. Item B, the Town of Montville hereby resolves to appoint a member of the Town Council to serve as a representative of the Board of Education for the purpose of the teacher negotiations. I volunteer unless anybody else is begging for it.
So moved.
Motion, Tom McNally.
Motion, second. Any other discussion? Any other discussion? Any other nominations? All right, all this, a roll call vote.
Favor.
Councilor
Mandler? Favor.
Councilor May?
Favor.
Councilor
Ricks?
Favor.
Councilor Yuknik? Favor. Councilor
McNally? Favor. 7-0. 6-0. Mr. Chairman, it's 6-0.
Oh, I'm sorry, you're correct. 6-0. You just grabbed me up an absentee. All right. Item C, the Town of Montville hereby resolves to waive the sealed bid requirements in Section 708 of the Town Charter for the social service building carpeting as it is in the best interest of the town.
So moved.
Motion made. Is there a second? Discussion?
Why are we waiving it?
Because it's over the $10,000 bid thing, and it didn't go out to a sealed bid, but he did get multiple bids from people, and it's kind of a rush job to get the thing done. So, and it saves us a little bit of money because to put together a bid spec for something so small.
So he did get other bids, or just one bid?
Nope, he got a couple bids.
There were three.
Then
why do we have to waive this?
Because it's over because the $10,000 sealed bid, which means advertise the newspaper, wait a month, open them up, a whole formal thing. So
we got to change that amount sometime. That's just ridiculous.
It's in the charter.
Any other discussion?
I got one thing. How come that when we do these, there's no completion date mandated?
This is just a bid process.
I'm not sure.
But when we award the bid, the guy could take 3 years to complete the project.
Well, I think it's in the, it's probably in the proposal or the RFQ.
I haven't seen it.
Do you need this?
When I went to build fire trucks and everything, there was a performance bond. If the guy didn't finish by July 1st, it cost him $300 a day.
Well, who's reviewing the bid? Public Works Director.
Yeah, so he would.
I mean, he's going to issue a purchase order, and if they don't come out and do it in a timely fashion, he's probably going to cancel the purchase order. And
I'm just wondering how come it's not incorporated into the bidding process.
It really isn't a formal bid. He's just getting pricing.
Yeah, I understand that, but
if we went out to a formal bid, it would be in all the bid specs and everything else, and we'd have to comply with all the other things. This is just, you know, he called five contractors and three came in.
I just had
a
question.
Yeah, no, I'm just
Thank
telling
you.
Yeah.
Any other discussion? Hearing none, roll call vote.
Councilman
Favor.
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 Favor. Favor. 6-0. Motion passed. Item D, the Town of Montville hereby resolves to authorize Mayor Ron McDaniel to enter a memorandum of agreement with Local 1303-051, Council for AFSCME AFL-CIO, and approve the funds necessary for the implementation.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion?
Just a reminder, this is regarding the equity adjustment for the dispatchers assuming the new duties relative to going to an independent police department.
Any other discussion?
I'd just like to thank the mayor for doing this. Very nice. I'll come.
Any other discussion? Hearing none, roll call vote.
Councilman
Favor.
Councilman
Favor.
Councilman
Favor.
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 Favor. 6-0. Motion passed. Item E, the Town of Montville hereby resolves to authorize Mayor Ron McDaniel to enter into a contract with the Southeastern Connecticut Council of Governments for the provisions of building official services.
So moved.
Second.
And second. Any discussion?
Again, this will allow us the ability to contract with the COG to provide our building official services, which we are sorely lacking at this point due to anomalies in the economy, in the job world right now. So
I just have a question. It means that we're going into agreement with not even Connecticut Council, but are there any bounds to this? I know we're not really specifying it here, but do we need something that not to exceed, or I don't know?
No, the mayor's signing contract for their services, and it can be canceled within a 30-day notice. So
okay.
It is heavily subsidized by a grant from the state.
Sounds like a good deal. So
any other discussion? Hearing none, roll call vote.
Favor.
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 Favor. 6-0. Motion pass. Item F, the Town of Montville hereby resolves to waive the sealed bid requirement in Section 708A of the Town Charter for the social service building windows as it is in the best interest of the town.
So moved.
Second.
Second. Discussion. Again, same thing. You know, got multiple quotes from local contractors, going, of course, with the low bidder.
My point being, one had 28 windows, the other two had 27.
I'm sure they'll hammer that out.
Which one? I think there's 28. But
yeah, but one says 27. I mean, it's a play on whatever, but
I just want to make sure it was apples and apples. I'm sure a public works director will make sure all the windows are replaced.
I just want everybody aware of it.
Saying that the one that's cheaper or the lowest pitch was 27.
Actually, it wasn't.
To be honest with you.
I don't know. I'm not calling you, but
any other discussion?
The extra window.
Hearing none, roll call vote.
Favor.
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 Favor. 6-0. Item G, the Town of Montville hereby resolves to approve the wages for part-time employees as detailed in Schedule A.
So moved.
Motion. Second. Second.
Second. Second.
All right. Discussion. Go ahead, Barbara.
I just filed kind of the template from prior years, and the only thing to be aware of is that there's another bump in minimum wage. And it goes up to $15 an hour on June 1st. So that affects four employees, you know, kind of like automatically, but it's here for you to vote on. There are two employees, or two positions, one being police secretary, the other youth program assistant, who I just found out were bumped to a dollar above minimum wage in a previous round of wage changes. So I just put that in again as a dollar above. This was part of your package, so I don't really get a chance to look at it. But basically, four people are just an automatic up to $15 an hour. There are two, as I said, police secretary,
youth program assistant to have been $1 a month. So I put that in, and so that's kind of what we're voting on. We still want to do that $1 a month. For the four remaining positions, the proposal would be either to vote them a 2% increase, or I also have a scenario for a 2.5% increase. The 2% increase is consistent with pretty much all the contracts that are in place right now. The negotiated contracts are down 2%. So that's basically what you're kind of being asked for. Do you want to go with that dollar above minimum wage, or do you want the 2% or the 2.5? Any questions?
I have a question. Do we have a part-time police secretary, and do we need it with the current hiring of the new full-time administrative assistant?
That is, has a wage, the full-time?
Yeah, I'm saying, A, do we have a part-timer currently? And
oh,
B,
I don't know. Do we have a part-time?
You know,
yes.
Ron?
Okay.
Yeah.
And then do we need a part-timer if we're going to hire another full-timer?
Well, the thinking was yes when they did the study on what the requirements were going to be.
It was always counted on that that's what it was going to be. I didn't see any correspondence or discussion to eliminate. And from my experience, yes.
I'm not against that. No, it also helps to cover vacations and outages.
Right.
And
very good. All right. So the question is, do you guys want to go to 2% or 2.5%?
What's the total amounts?
Pennies. It's going from 1922 to 1932. 10 cents an hour.
It'd be 9 cents for Andy.
Yeah.
The difference is 9 cents. Andy's probably the top end.
Severely all.
Minutes clerk is the top end. Sorry.
Sorry. 2.5. I mean, I recommend the 2.5 because they're still severely low.
I agree. 2.5.
I agree.
Yeah. Is that?
Would be agreeing on a 2.5%?
No, very
good. Yes.
All right. Any other discussion?
No.
Roll call vote.
Councilor Bernal.
Favor.
Councilor Mandler.
Favor.
Councilor
May. Favor.
Councilor Ricks.
Favor.
Councilor Buchanan.
Favor.
Councilor McNally.
Favor. 6-0, motion passed.
That was the 2.5.
Correct.
Okay, and then the $2 over, the dollar over minimum wage.
Yep. Yeah, the rest is all as per the schedule.
Yep. All right, thank you very much.
Item H, the Town of Montville hereby resolves to waive the all in-kind services and fees for the 2023 Montville Carnival related to police, fire, and public works, the amount of $5,624.26.
So moved.
Motion.
So moved.
Second.
So moved.
Second. Discussion.
I just want to say, I know last weekend, the carnival at Waterford had some pretty significant problems with people going there and causing disruptions and making trouble. So I just want to make sure that we're going to have enough officers there to prevent that from happening at our carnival.
Chief, I believe we have 2 assigned to the carnival and 3 on duty, correct?
We do.
I thought it was 4 on duty.
Figured that.
What's the typical crowd count?
I can tell you, I know Saturday nights are busy.
Yeah.
I said last year was very, very well attended and we didn't have any problems, knock on wood, but
yeah,
you never know.
It comes and goes.
But Waterford had to shut theirs down early this past weekend because it got out of control. Yeah, they called in mutual aid from New London.
Really?
Yeah.
What was the...
Probably New London riffraff.
So this resolution is for the waiver of the in-kind services, right?
Yep.
It's something that we do every year.
Yep.
It's well worth the effort and money spent.
Or we could make the carnival pay for it.
And there's a breakdown that you guys have.
Thank you, Tom.
All right. Any other discussion?
Yeah, I have one. On the request for in-kind services, there's a thing for the deputy fire marshal to be there Friday night. Do you know what that's for? It's not a statutory requirement. He's statutory required to be there Saturday from the time fireworks arrive to the time they're dispatched.
Yes, Saturday. Currently, the fireworks are anticipated to arrive at 1300.
I didn't hear you. I'm sorry.
1300 is when they're here Saturday. Now, Friday.
1 o'clock, Al.
No way.
1 p.m.
Well, last year was 12.
Yeah, it depends on where they're coming from. Last year was Old Saybrook. I'm not sure where they're coming from this year. All the actual fireworks are coming from Maine. We're getting a deal on fireworks. So, but as far as Friday night is concerned, when I asked for the proposal from the fire marshal, that's what he gave me. So, you know, I don't presume to tell him how to operate his department. So if you want me to go into that further and get you an answer, I can do that.
Well, we went through this last year.
Last year, there were actually two of them there at the same time, and that was, as you say, that was a little overkill, I thought. But that may have been due to the deputy's first year, and he may have been getting trained by the fire marshal. This year, he's not there, the assistant is there.
Shouldn't have been trained because he has to be certified.
I think there's a little bit of familiarization that goes along with the just being there. Familiarizing.
I think part of the fire marshal's role, even though it's obviously he's there for the fireworks, but also the fire marshal has to do with crowds and people, and they sometimes have to be on site. Like every time you go into
state statute,
that they have who would else would be the person that would estimate a crowd in unsafe conditions?
It's turned over to the fire chief.
Okay.
By statute.
I don't know that. All I know is in the building code, the fire marshal is an integral part of establishing crowd and safety for OSHA and NFPA. So if that's written a certain way, then the fire chiefs would have to step up. But I'm just saying that's why you have a fire marshal on site for crowd control sometimes. If there gets to be too many people, egress, do you have to proper this? Is it set up? I don't know. But I'm not trying to benefit or suggest that this is not right, what you're saying about the last year and this year, but I think the fire marshal has a role to play in the crowd and the exits and different things how it's set up.
Is he the one that inspects the rides, too, after they set them up?
No, the state does.
The state
does and local both inspect.
Local has nothing to do with
9:30 on Friday morning.
Okay. As long as somebody does.
Both the state...
State police fire explosion unit will come in and inspect the rides. Typically, the fire marshal or deputy fire marshal is going to be there for that inspection along with electrician and anybody else that the town needs. As far as being there, typically, I ran the fire explosion unit for 8 years. The bigger fairs and carnivals, there would be a representative from the fire marshal's office there in case of an injury. Because there are initial reporters, because I'm almost embarrassed to say it, I was NARSO certified, National Association of Amusement Ride Safety Officials.
Such a thing. Okay.
I'm being certified to do that, but typically the marshals or the deputy marshals are going to be the our first line of reporting for any injury or anything like that.
Any other discussion? Hearing none, a roll call vote.
Councilor Pinnell.
Favor.
Councilor Mandler.
Favor.
Councilor
Favor.
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 Favor. 6-0, motion passed. Item I, the Town of Montville hereby resolves to review and approve the revised position description for the dispatchers.
So moved.
Motion made.
Second.
Mr. Chairman, I just point out that we're going to make one change to the lead dispatcher position to eliminate the term communications director and just insert Montville Police Executive Officer in its place.
Correct.
Just get it on the record.
Yep. And then also, there's the word communication lead dispatcher. Just leave it at lead dispatcher. Because the job title says lead dispatcher, and then down below it says communication lead dispatcher. I don't know why it's in there, but. Any other changes, questions, comments? All right. Hearing none, a roll call vote.
Favor.
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 Favor. 6-0. Motion passed.
Chair, just one question. When will we see the corrected version of that? We just voted on it, but
how about give me till maybe 10:30 tomorrow morning to get it typed up for you?
Great. Thank you.
I was going to give you that long.
Noon.
Yeah.
Just want to make sure we see it corrected.
All right. Item K.
Make it 2:00 now.
Town of Montville hereby resolves to waive the sealed bid requirement, section 708 of the town charter for the Turner Road tree clearing.
So moved.
Motion. Second.
Second.
Discussion. This came in this afternoon. Again, Public Works Director got some last-minute quotes. He called a bunch of local tree companies. He's already tagged about 37 or 8 trees on the road. And he's got the quotes, but of course they're over the $10,000, so instead of going back out to a formal bid, we're looking to waive it, hire an in-town contractor, and get the job done. Any discussion on that? Hearing none, roll call vote.
Councilor Nell?
Favor.
Councilor
Mandler?
Here.
Favor.
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 Favor. 6-0, motion passed. Last item L, the town of Montville hereby resolves to appropriate $4,000 of ARPA money to go to Safe Futures. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Motion made second. Discussion?
Yeah. What's going on?
Again, well, we talked about this already. They basically requested $4,000. The ARPA committee is not able to meet tomorrow, so we'll bring it to the full council for approval.
Right. We did.
Does everybody know what it's about? It's forwarded to me by the mayor, and it's a Center for Safe Futures. It supports domestic violence, sexual assault, stalking, trafficking in Connecticut. And last year, 500 people from Montville were involved in it. And some towns contributed $50,000, some contributed $5,000. They requested $4,000 from the town of Montville.
In addition to the $1,000 we normally give them. We do give them $1,000. Yes.
Any other discussion?
I think it's a very worthwhile cause. I mean, it's crazy if we don't.
Hearing none, roll call vote.
Favor.
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 Favor. Motion passed.
Thank you, guys.
Item 17, remarks.
Mr. Chairman, point of order. I believe we put item J back on the agenda.
Thank you. Oh, I stand corrected. You're correct. Item J, I'm going back. Town of Montville hereby resolves to review and approve the revised position description for the fire marshal as recommended by the town's administration rules and proceeding standing committee. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second. Second discussion?
I just have a question. We're removing duties from the fire marshal, correct?
Yes, we're removing dispatch center manager at the top under the nature of work, and we're removing the Montville 911 center supervisor because it falls now under the chief of police.
Does this in any way, shape, or form change the wages or salary for the fire marshal?
Not currently. Unless the mayor negotiates it down the road.
I had to ask.
I personally...
I didn't even think of that.
I asked the original fire marshal that took over, and he said he never got a stipend increase or anything. So, it's even Steven.
Any other discussion? Hearing none, roll call vote.
Favor.
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 Favor. 6-0, motion passed. I believe that's everything. So item 17, remarks from the public. 3-minute limit.
I'm a little short. good evening. I'm Kathy Gallish from Montville Youth Football. We have a couple issues that we need to figure out or what are happening. Last November, we came to the council, Brendan and I, with some of the changes that needed to be made to the field. Some of those changes were made. We've been down at the field on Mondays and Wednesdays. The building looks amazing. Thank you. You guys did everyone, Public Works, Parks and Rec, amazing. But some of those changes that were made have fallen by the wayside for our building. We are going to need to figure out what's going to happen with access down to the public road that's there, because I cannot get down that road during a game day. Not only can I not get down that road on a game day, I have deliveries. There's no way I can bring down 24 boxes of French fries, 10 boxes of hamburgers, chicken, that access road has to be accessible. We do not use that road for anything but accessing our field. That is our field. That is my field, your field. But in order to serve the kids of this town, we have to have access to them. Whether we come up with an alternative thing, maybe we're not going down that road, take where the parking lot is, there's a little pathway, maybe make a little driveway in there so that we're not going down the main road. But there's things that can be done, and no one's ever asked us what we can do to help make that happen. The other thing that we asked when we came here was we asked for the field to be extended. We asked in November. It is June 11th, 12th. The field has not been done. We have a Super Bowl on November 16th. We asked for a proposal, and the council said that we would look into it. When we met and we had a meeting with Peter Bushway, Tom McNally, Erica Day, Brandon Brown, myself, and Kate Sutherland, we all talked about it. There was two engineering reports that were produced, no funding. There was one that was left off, and one of those fundings would be, and the easiest way to do it, and it wouldn't access or be a hindrance to any of the other teams. We have one field. We have a practice field. During the rain, like today, we're down at the field. We're soaking, sopping wet. You can't use the bottom field. But we have to use the main field. So in order to get up there and have those things happen, we have to have those changes made. One of those changes that was not addressed is we need 15 feet on each side of our field. Now, I'm not an engineer, but I do know how to do maintenance, so does Brandon. If we had 15 feet to each side of our field and we cut down the field goal post, we bury them. On top of burying them, there's nothing on top of it. We move the field goals. If it's something I have to do to get funding, I need to know. I can't make things happen. I'm fundraising and commissions and concessions. I need to know those things and where these funds are coming from. I met with some of the people at the, and I'm sure I'm past my time, but some of these changes aren't getting done. We don't have the building was maintained and upgraded, but our speaker stands were taken off. If those aren't updated by July 31st when we start, if those speakers fall when we use that our communications booth, someone's going to get hurt. That's a liability. We asked for the flagpoles to be put up. We asked for the fencing to be done. That fencing is supposed to be done per the conference, and that's the Southern New England Youth Football Conference, and that's to protect our referees. Those changes have not been done, so we kind of need to know what we need to do to facilitate that and work with you guys. So I would love to be able to sit down and go over that with everyone, because Public Works, the stuff's not getting done, and I do know they're busy. But our field starts in less than a month. So I don't know where to go or how to proceed, and that's where I'm looking for your help.
Thank you. Anyone else in the public wishing to speak?
Good evening. I'm here to voice my opposition to the mayor's pay raise. I'm expecting my speaking here tonight gets recorded accurately, because there's things that the town needs to hear about.
You state your name and address, please.
Pardon me?
Name and address, please.
Vince Atwater Young, 375 Chapel Hill Road, Oakdale. The raise was given without the people, taxpayers, given an opportunity to have a voice in this decision. I asked you all why. Why was that? Simple question. If you were so certain of a passage, why didn't the town get a chance to talk about it? This town council and mayor negotiated our town employees' raises, are the people that worked the hardest for our town. And what did they get? Under 3%. Are you kidding me? Under 3%. They work hard. And yet the mayor gets over a 20% raise. How is that possible? How do you look at us and say that's possible? Why was not the mayor not held to the same standards that the rest of the town employees were? Is he not an employee? And now I hear item G on tonight's meeting. I had to make another note. We're talking about pay raises to minimum wages. And that's fair, yet you got 20%. This is at a time when the mayor's duties were just reduced, no less. The town hired a new police chief, and I'm in favor of that. And after watching that man tonight, I'm pleased. We hired a real good man. Yet our mayor, his duties were reduced, and yet he still gets a pay raise. So less work, raise over 20% or more, holds downtown employees to under a 3% raise. Anyone else see this wrong? I'm asking the town council to rescind this decision, if it's possible, and asking the mayor's raise to go to an open agenda item on the next town council meeting. However, that's possible. That's your job to figure that out, not mine. Can this be not on the next agenda? And how do I go about getting it if I'm the one going to be responsible? Council needs to put out there for the taxpayers to decide whether or not the 20% is fair or not. That's for the taxpayer, not for an agenda item that wasn't discussed or brought up for the town people to figure out. That's what I have to say about it, and I hope that you listened.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak? Anyone else wishing to speak? Last call for the public. Hearing none, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Again, we have a lot going on this week. So we have graduation, we have the farmer's market starting up, and the carnival this weekend. I was unable to make it to the pickleball court, tennis court grand opening, but there's an app that tells you how many people are signed up to kind of reserve the courts or whatever, and there were 102 people signed up as of 11 o'clock on Saturday morning to use those courts just for Saturday. Wow. So money well spent.
Mr. Bunnell.
Just want to thank the mayor for his effort and accomplishments in the equity adjustments for the dispatchers, discussions of the contract, for COG, for the building inspector, and for the approving of the position description and negotiating the position descriptions with the dispatchers. A lot of work went into that, and appreciate his effort. I want to extend my congratulations to officers, sergeants Stewart and Shepherd. They were both hired under my my watch, and they are excellent choices, and I'm sure that they're going to serve the town well. As far as the comments made about the football field, that's something that has to be taken to Parks and Rec and get a hold of the chair of the Parks and Rec, have get it on the agenda. And I know that there's effort going to be put into modifying the language so that everyone can come to agreement on the use of that road, the use of the field, because any changes to that field has got to be going through Parks and Rec. Sergeant Northrup, he came on a few years after me. I'm congratulating him on his retirement. He has served the town well, and I want to extend my personal congratulations and thanks to him for his time he served the town. On Tuesday, tomorrow, the 13th, the Connecticut State Police will hold its award ceremony in Meriden. And Officer Dan Witz is going to receive a medal for bravery for taking a convicted felon into custody following a violent struggle on December 11th and 21. Officer Stephen Frizzino will receive a medal of outstanding service for his role in locating evidence in a case of a wanted fugitive on December 5th of 22. And Sergeant Pelletier will receive a medal of life saving for an incident on saving a Montville residence on March 8th of 22. I plan to be in attendance there, and my appreciation goes out to all three of those officers and sergeant for their contributions to this town. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor?
Yeah, I too want to echo out to Sergeant Shepherd and Sergeant Stewart. Congratulations on that's a big step, and I want to wish them, you know, luck in their new positions. And Sergeant Northrup, as his retirement, I've known him for a while, and he's a very good police officer, and he has definitely served this town well. So I just want to say thank you for him for that. So I lost my train of thought what I was going to talk about, but that was the main point. And oh, the pickleball courts. I was out that day for the opening. There was about 30 people there for the attendance. It was well attended for that. But I went by that morning, and it opened up at 8:30 that morning, and there was already 5 pickleball courts and 2 of the tennis courts full at like 8 in the morning, which I thought was pretty remarkable, or 9 in the morning. And after the event at 1 o'clock, I drove back through, I don't know, about 7 o'clock at night, and the pickleball courts were still full. So, and the same thing on Sunday. It's just amazing how many people are using that. I don't know how long that'll last, but it's definitely a big hit, and people are very, very pleased with that. So kudos to the Parks and Rec Commission for getting that done, and the town council for help funding it. So, thank you.
Just want to remind people, July 1st is the police transition ceremony. The committee has been working very hard for the past several months. There's a lot of planning involved with that. They've done a fantastic job. So hopefully everybody can make it out to that. There's lots of food and cake and all kinds of festivities. Ms. Ricks?
I'd just like to echo my other counselors of the pickleball and tennis courts. I did get a chance to go to the ribbon cutting on Saturday, and I know absolutely nothing about pickleball, but now I'm really interested. You know, I was somewhat critical at the beginning when asked for the funding for this, thinking who's going to use these? Like, is it really, is tennis and pickleball really, you know, that much of a sport that people want to do? I think it is, and the Public Works did a beautiful job, Parks and Rec. The courts are amazing. And Peter was explaining to us that the lights are on a timer so you can play at night. And just standing there looking around at the neighborhood, I was thinking how grateful the neighbors must feel that this is now a beautiful facility. And Camp Oakdale as a whole is really growing. And so if you do happen to go to the farmer's market at all while it's running, take a quick little walk over and check it out, because they really did a fantastic job. And I might just have to try to learn how to play pickleball. Congratulations to the Montville High School class of 2023.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Yuknik.
I just want to congratulate Sergeant Stewart and Shepard on their promotions, and Breakfast Head Diana's for getting recognized by the EDC. And Ms. Kalish, I would encourage you to contact the Parks and Rec people and see if you can get them on board. They're pretty good at what they do, so I'm sure they'll be receptive. That's all I have, sir.
Mr. Mandler.
I just want to apologize to the chief for not attending Barrett's procession and things like that, but I would have cried like a baby, and I just couldn't emotionally bring myself to do that, to be honest with you. But congratulations to Barrett. And along with the other counselors, I went by the pickleball courts, and there were old guys like me and young guys like my grandchild, and it was packed all day Sunday. I went by three, four times because I was going back and forth to Home Depot, and I was quite pleased. It looks beautiful, and I just hope it continues and continues and continues. But on that, thank you, and motion adjourned.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? We are adjourned. Thank you very much.
Have a good night.
I oppose. I'm going to stay here longer.
Oh, there you go. Bye-bye. Back to work.
Sweet.
What did I get wrong?
You get it wrong.
It's a 20-mile service. I said